Hey everyone, welcome to the Northgate FMC podcast. How's everyone feeling these days? In these unusual circumstances, it can be easy to feel drained. Even Christians can feel like their power source has dried up. But Jesus promised that his first followers would receive power, and we believe his promise remains true for us today. This power comes to us from the Holy Spirit, and in our new series, we're going to explore what that means for us. Join us as we seek to create a culture of supernatural expectation by engaging with God's Holy Spirit.
Hey everyone, we are in the final message in the Holy Spirit series where we've been talking about creating a culture of supernatural expectation. Because if we want to be a place where the supernatural happens regularly, where we know not only that God can do the miraculous, but we actually expect that he will do it, we have to understand that it's not going to happen on our own. This isn't going to happen in our own wisdom. This isn't going to happen by our own power. It will happen because we are a group of people who regularly, consistently hear from God and then act on what we hear. And in the final message of this series, I want to answer a question that we as your pastors receive pretty regularly. And that question is, how do we hear from God? How do we hear from God? It's a tricky question. You know, sometimes this is things that new Christ followers will ask. They'll say, hey, okay, you know, I just became a Christian. How do I hear from God? Sometimes it's people who have been following Jesus for a while, but maybe feel like they've lost that somewhere along the way. Or maybe it's people who've been trying to follow him, and they just feel like they never really got to this at any point. They never got to a place where they were hearing from God. Look at this main point today. I want you to know that in order to hear from God, we need to deliberately cultivate a lifestyle of listening. We need to deliberately cultivate a lifestyle of listening. The people that hear from God, the way that this happens, it is not by accident. It is happening because they have been deliberate. They've been intentional. They have a purpose of doing that, and they've set up a lifestyle where they can hear from God regularly. And I would love that for every single one of us here at Northgate and beyond that. So in what ways is your current lifestyle conducive to hearing from God? Are there ways that that is happening or that it should be and could be happening? And then in what ways is it not? In what ways is the lifestyle that you've cultivated not conducive to hearing from God? I know for a lot of us, we are too busy. And then part of this season is that slowing down that maybe will allow us or is allowing us to hear from God in a different way. Because this is a relationship. Us and God, this is a relationship. And we complicate it way too much sometimes. Because we know how relationships work, at least, you know, sometimes. Some of the wives wish their husbands knew how relationships work maybe a little bit more. But in general, we know how relationships work. We know that we need to put time into them to make them healthy. We have to put effort into them. And in a lot of ways, this is no different. Now, does it happen to be a relationship with the God that created the entire universe? So does that inherently change it just a bit? Sure, it does. But so many things that apply to this would apply to hearing from and connecting with a person that you have a relationship with here on earth. So let's answer this question. Let's attempt to answer this question. If we want to be deliberate about cultivating a lifestyle of listening, how do we do that? I want to give you five things. Say five things. Come on, say five things. Amy, say five things. All right, Amy's not going to say it, but thank you to the rest of you. We're going to look at five things, how we cultivate a lifestyle of listening. First thing, give him the opportunity to speak into your life every single day. I know you've heard this from me so many times. I will say it to anyone that will listen and to people that won't listen. I'll say it on any platform, in any context. You need to spend at least 15 minutes every single day reading the Bible. When we do that, we are giving God the opportunity to speak into our lives, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us. Some days to give us exactly what we need to make it through that day with our integrity intact. And when we don't do that, when we miss that, we are missing out. Because sometimes people will complain that they never hear from God. And we'll start to talk about that for a bit, and we'll quickly realize they were never giving him the opportunity to speak to them. You know, when we have our phones, when you get a notification, if you're anything like me, you want to clear that notification, right? You get it, you see it, you want to look at it and see what it is and clear it. I do not like having little red numbers on my phone screen. But if God used that system, if he had notifications and I had all these stacking up from the days that I didn't give him the opportunity to speak into my life, I'd probably be even more committed to making sure that didn't happen. Right? We never miss a notification on our phone, but we do miss when God has something for us that day and we don't make the time, we don't have the routine, we don't have the habit to make sure that we are doing that every single day. If Saturday or Sunday is the only time that you are putting scripture into your life, then you are missing out. You are missing out on so much. Because when we go on a trip and we don't know where we're going, we put the GPS on, we put that address in, and we leave it there, right? I don't think I've ever gone on a trip and put the GPS on with the directions and left it on for an hour and then turned it off for the next 6 hours. And then I'll turn it on again to see what I'm doing. That would be crazy. But that is exactly what we do with the Word of God. We come to church or we go to church online and we listen to God's Word and we say, okay, all right, I got some instructions. I know what to do. And then we go out and we spend the next 6 days scripture free, and we are missing out over and over and over on the things that God wants to put into our lives through his word. And that's the reason that we do it. That's why we show up, not out of guilt, but out of a desire to not miss out on what he has for us. I had somebody when I was younger that said, hey, get a journal and, you know, put the date and take some notes on the scripture that you read every day. And then if you miss a day, write the date out on the top of the page and then write in big letters, God did not mean enough to me to read my Bible today. And that doesn't work for me. Guilt doesn't do it for me. That's not a good motivator. I did that and I didn't like seeing that in there. And then I just stopped with the journal, right? I just walked away because guilt doesn't do it. But knowing that God has something for me, that he wants to speak into my life today, that motivates me to give him that chance every single day. And listen, sometimes you are just going to be putting in the time. Sometimes you're just going to be going through the motions. It's not like every single day there is some mind-blowing, life-shaping truth that you will read. But you have to show up every day. You have to put in that work every day so that you don't miss out on those days when it happens. Build a routine into your daily schedule that gives God the opportunity to speak into your life. Find what works for you. Find what doesn't work for you and make it happen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we believe this, if we believe that we will be thoroughly equipped, it will reflect in the amount of time that we spend in Scripture. And don't hear that as you need to spend 2 hours a day reading the Bible. Hey, if you want to, you might be able to do that right now. What I'm saying is start with 15 minutes. You can do that. And if you deeply desire to hear from God, you will do that. And then the next thing is related. How do we cultivate a lifestyle of listening? Pray constantly. Now, growing up and hearing this, or even as a younger Christian, I would hear this and I would think, that's not even remotely reasonable, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'd read that and I would think about somebody like Pastor Greg, who probably spends the first 2 hours of his day and the last 2 hours of his day in prayer. And I'd think, oh, that's not me. I can't do that. That's not going to happen. My attention span is not that good, let alone having that time available. But as I've gotten older, I think that praying constantly and continually isn't as much about praying for hours on end as it is about having an ongoing conversation with God that really has no starting and stopping point. You know, when Amy's at work and we're texting, there isn't a formal beginning or ending to the conversation. I don't start by texting her and saying, "Hello, Amy, I hope this message finds you well." Right? There's just an ongoing conversation back and forth, how the kids are doing, how the dogs are doing, how her work is, what's going on. And it continues because she's always super busy at work, always. And I'm home with three kids and two dogs trying to write messages in the midst of total chaos. But that conversation isn't happening all the time, but it also never really stops. And I think in a lot of ways, that is how God wants us to pray. I think that's how we can pray continually. Now, would I recommend having a concentrated prayer time at certain parts of the day, at the beginning of the day or the end, maybe over your lunch break? Absolutely. But I would also recommend praying before you walk into that meeting, or before you log into a meeting these days. I'd recommend saying, "God, give me the eyes to see someone that needs to be encouraged as I walk around my neighborhood today." Or, "God, I'm feeling anxious right now. Be with me before this spins out of control." Or, "God, I'm about to lose my cool. I've been stuck in my house for my family for two months, and I need you right now." Praying in the morning is great. But to pray consistently, we need to keep that conversation going. Little 5, 10, 20-second prayers throughout the day. And guess what? Doing these first two things is going to be incredibly effective in giving you the power that you need to do the third thing. How do we cultivate a lifestyle of listening? Avoid sin. I talked about this with what the Holy Spirit does earlier in this series in week 2. But if we feel like living a life that is not controlled by sin is an impossible standard, it is because our lives are not being controlled enough by the Holy Spirit. People with beautiful lawns, they will tell you if you want to avoid weeds, the best thing to do is grow so much healthy grass that the weeds don't have any room to come in. That's what happens. You grow the grass and it actually pushes the weeds out. There's no room for the weeds. You don't just remove the weeds. You don't just remove the bad thing. You have to actually push it out with something good. Well, if you're just trying over and over on your own power to push out sin, and you aren't getting anywhere, that's because you haven't replaced it with the right thing. You haven't replaced it with the presence of God, of the Holy Spirit. Because when we do that, our lives will fill with Him, and that will choke out that sin. It won't leave any room for it to grow and become such a strong and powerful force. Or, as we know, that can go the other way. Because whether you're talking about sin in your life, the presence of God in your life, plants, lawns, fish, really anything, we know that whatever you feed grows and whatever you starve dies. So if you are feeding the sin in your life with what you put in front of your eyes, with what you put in your ears, with what you put in your mind, then guess what? You are feeding a monster and it's only going to get bigger and stronger. But if you starve that sinful nature, if you fill your life with God to such a degree that the sin doesn't have any room to grow and flourish, then it will start to die. It will. Some of you think that's crazy, but it's just because you haven't experienced it firsthand yet. It will start to die. Paul gave us these words, this incredible reminder in 1 Corinthians, but until we internalize them, until we deeply believe them, they don't have the power to change our lives. Once we get this, once we truly believe it, it will change everything. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. I think this is the verse I've used the most in messages over the last couple of years. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And then God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." He will provide a way out to avoid sin. He will provide an off-ramp, as I've often called them. And by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can avoid sin and embrace God. And if you desperately want to hear from God, you will do this. Don't tell me that you want to hear from God when you're feeding the sin and starving Him. It's not going to work like that. It's just not. As Paul said in that 1 Thessalonians 5 passage we looked at earlier, that is quenching the Spirit, and we can't expect to hear from God when we are doing that. And we can't reasonably expect to hear from God when we are feeding the sin in our lives and starving him out of our lives. That is the power of applying God's word in our lives. Because the next way that we cultivate a lifestyle of listening is following the instructions that you've already been given. Follow the instructions that you've already been given. A lot of people don't like this, right? So many people are searching for God's will in their life like it's a magical treasure hunt, and he's leaving these little hints and clues, but this isn't a game. God is not playing a game with our lives. He has already given us instructions to live by. And some of you, you know, you'll scoff at that, right? You look at a Bible and you think, that's huge, right? Have you seen that? There's so many things in there. How could I ever get to all of that? But what about if we just start with the Ten Commandments? What if we just started there and started genuinely applying those things in our lives? Some people are praying for God to bless their business while lying and cheating and stealing for it. Really? Do you think he's going to do that? Some of you are praying that God will bless your relationship that you are not honoring him with. Why would he bless that? Why are you asking for that? We need to follow the instructions we've already been given. A lot of people pray and ask God to bless their finances, even though they haven't made any effort to follow the biblical principles God gave us for handling money. James 1, 22 through 24, it gives us this encouragement. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at a face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So do you listen to the word of God and then just walk away? James says that's like looking at a mirror and seeing a huge glob of ketchup on your face and then just going on with your day and leaving it there. Do you think just by attending church or watching church online or listening to a message that that changes you? Or do you apply the scriptural truths that you hear to your life? Because that is what's going to start making a difference when we follow the instructions that we've already been given. It's a key component, an absolutely key component in hearing from God. And then the last component that I want to share in how we cultivate a lifestyle of listening is to respond to the nudges. Respond to the nudges that God gives us. When we hear from God, we better do it. We've got to do it. If you get that nudge from the Holy Spirit to ask your waitress if you can pray for her, don't chicken out. You've got to do it. If you feel the Holy Spirit encourage you to start a conversation with someone in the grocery store that might look lonely, then follow through. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say respond to the nudges, and others of you are saying, I've never had anything like that happen. I like the encouragement from the prophet Isaiah about hearing from God in this way. Isaiah 30, 21, it tells us, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, if you don't hear that voice, or you aren't hearing that voice, pray and ask that God would begin to trust you with those. And then show him that you are willing to take it seriously. Sometimes when you do, you get those nudges from God and you follow through, you will immediately see how God was at work. One way that this happens for me is a lot of times names will cross my mind, right? Somebody will come to my mind, and I will, especially right now as we are disconnected in so many ways, I will reach out immediately and say, hey, how you doing? How can I pray for you? Or let them know I am praying for you. And a lot of times I will hear back from people and they'll say, man, you know, that's crazy. This is going on. My grandpa's really sick. We actually really could use prayer. And I think that's God putting them on my heart, on my mind, and saying, hey, reach out and let them know that I care because I put that on your heart. Sometimes, you know, I'll be out and something will be going on and I'll feel led to ask somebody if they are a Christian. And it's always an interesting conversation. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. And sometimes you do those things and you immediately feel like, okay, God, I see why you wanted me to do that. Other times you might do it and you might walk away going, why did I do that? Why did I even do that? This summer, this last summer, I had to run out during the services on Sunday and go down to the baseball stadium. Pastor Dan was the chaplain for the Muck Dogs, and I was filling in for him that day. And I had to go down there and check in and see what time we'd be doing services for them that day. And so I did. I'm rushing around. I'm trying to get back to the church because, again, it's during the 11 o'clock service. And as I'm driving back, I drove by a guy sitting out right next to the side of the road in a wheelchair by himself. And he looked really sad. He looked very like he was thinking and, you know, very contemplative. And I drove by, and in my mind, I was like, man, I wonder what's going on with that guy. And I kept going, and I felt so strongly God say, turn around and go back and ask him if you can pray for him. I was like, God, I'm trying to get back to church, right? I'm a pastor. I got to get to the church. This is what we do. I don't have time to care about people. I got to get back here, you know? And it was clear. I tried not to do it. God, again, was like, turn around and go back and ask this guy if you can pray for him. So I did, and now I'm thinking, man, God must have a really cool plan for this. He was really pretty, you know, insistent with that nudge that I do that. So I turn around, and I go back, and I pull in, and I get out of the car, and I, you know, say, hey, how's it going? My name's John, and his name was John, too, because there's a few of us out there. And I asked him, I said, hey, I don't know if you believe in God or not. And he said, I don't. I was like, okay. Well, I was just driving by, and I felt like God told me to get out and see if I could pray for you. And he kind of looked at me, and he goes, well, you can pray later, but please don't do it, like, right now here with me. I was like, all right. And I asked him how he was doing, and he said he was okay, and he was pretty standoffish. And I got back in the car and started to drive away, and I thought, well, that was so pointless, right? What was the point of that? The guy wouldn't even let me pray for him. I had to wait till I got back in the car to pray for him. But I feel like God uses those things to build up our obedience. Now, one important disclaimer, God will never ask you to do something that goes against his revealed word or character. So no, he is not nudging you to have an affair. That's the devil. He's not nudging you to hurt yourself. That's also the devil, and you need to ask for prayer and get some help. He isn't nudging you to do anything immoral or unsafe, because that would be in conflict with his nature, with his character. But when we hear from him, you guys, when we get these nudges, it's important that we respond. I feel like he's giving us a mission. Maybe he's just doing it to see if we will take it seriously and respond. And if we don't, why would he give us a bigger, more important mission? I mean, why would he do that? That's what I told myself as I got back into the car after meeting John is, well, maybe he was just checking to see if I would really listen, even though I was busy and I had somewhere else to be, because it certainly didn't feel like anything came from that interaction. So if you want to hear from God, you are going to need to cultivate a lifestyle of listening. Just like how a good husband needs to pay attention to his wife if he really cares about her, and if he really cares about knowing what is going on with her. I mean, it's just like how anything we are really into, we pay attention to. Some of you may have heard, or you may have seen any of my backgrounds in the videos I make from home, that I am a bit of a Red Sox fan. And I'm not like a Red Sox fan that I own a couple hats. Like, I am a Red Sox fan. Like, I watch every game back when they used to play games, right? Almost every game. I probably don't miss more than 10 complete games in a season where I've got it on. I don't even tell you the things I've done, the ways I've hit it in meetings or whatever, where I can watch a game, I can listen to it on the way home, get home and turn it on. I watch all the time. I don't miss it. I don't miss that at all. And I read daily. I read from the reporters that are in the locker room, from the people that are connected with the team. I talk to friends who follow the team, right? I'm always thinking about this team and thinking about what's going well and what's not. And so consequently, I am in tune with this team. I feel like I know the pulse of the team. I know, all right, we won the last couple, but we really taxed the bullpen. So if we don't get a good start out of our starter tonight, it's gonna go poorly. Some of you are like that with the Bills or with the Sabres or even with the Yankees, right? But if we want to know from God, if we want to hear from God, if we want to be in tune with him, then it has to be just like that. We have to cultivate a lifestyle of listening. We have to give him every opportunity to connect with us. We have to be thinking about him. We have to be reading about him. We need to be speaking to other people about him. And when we do those things, when we cultivate a lifestyle of listening, what we are going to find is that what God wants more than anything else is to connect with us. He wants to connect with you. He is waiting for you so that you and I can hear from him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you take such an interest in each and every one of us. God, thank you that you want to be with us. Lord, you want us to hear from you. You want to hear from us. God, I pray that the relationships that we have with you would be the focal point of our lives. God, I pray that we would take these things seriously. Lord, that we would be people that are in your word, that are in prayer. God, we'd be people listening for your voice and responding when we hear it. That God, because of those things, you would give us the power to avoid sin. God, I pray that we would cultivate a lifestyle of listening to you. And that God, as we do that, you would reward us with your voice. Lord, you would trust us with what you want for us. God, I pray as that happens in our lives, we will give you the glory and the honor for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.